You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello everyone and welcome back to William Hill's US Sports Podcast. It is week 7 of the NFL season. We've got 4 games to go at this week, and taking a look at the betting alongside myself, Sam Norris, is William Hill US Sports trader Stephen Back. Stephen, hello, welcome to week 7.
It's coming thick and fast, the season's going quickly.
Yeah, it always feels like it goes pretty rapidly. Before you know it, you're at the quarter mark, the third mark, the halfway mark. I suppose it's such an intense short season compared to sort of the meandering long regular season of the NBA or something like that. It always seems to go quite quickly, the NFL season.
Oh yeah, after one game's done, you've already got the fixtures for the next week, and you're already looking ahead, and then all of a sudden that's gone, and all of a sudden you're at Christmas.
Indeed, yeah.
Thanksgiving's gone, Christmas is gone, the New Year's here, and then you're at the Super Bowl, and then you've got a long wait again till the NFL season next year. So you've got to look forward to the time here because it doesn't last long.
Yeah, 4 televised games for us to dive into this week, starting with the 6 o'clock game on Sunday. The Oakland Raiders are at the Green Bay Packers. A 5.5-point spread here. At -5.5 for the Packers is 10 to 11. +5.5 for the Raiders is 10 to 11. The Raiders are 41 to 20 on the money line, and the Packers are 22-49. Now, much of the early week of the build-up to Week 7, media-wise, has been dominated by the fallout from Monday Night Football last week. Now, I'm a Lions fan, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but most of the NFL was questioning some of the calls that the Packers got on Monday night. They edged through that one, winning 23-22 in the end. I mean, they're 5-1 now, but they don't really look like a 5-1 team so far, and they were fortuitous on Monday night because there were a number of strange calls, and that game could have gone the other way.
Strange calls is putting it lightly. I think phantom calls are more what we're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember what the offensive lineman's name is now off the top of my head. It's completely evading me. But two hands to the face.
Trey Flowers.
Two illegal hands to the face, and he's never had one in his career.
Yeah.
Of which neither of them were a penalty, and just bailed out the Packers completely. It was a shame because the Lions did not deserve to lose that game at all. And I think it's kind of proven that they are kind of for real, the Lions. Everyone thought they were a flash in the pan.
Yep.
They got a few lucky results. They ran the Chiefs close, which was a good display for them, although they didn't get the result. But this was a game they should have really won. Mm. I mean, some friends that I was watching the game, we thought, well, they should have had the game sealed in the first...
Yep.
Going 21-0 up, basically. But even without that, they still deserved to win the game. But... yeah, the Packers were let off the hook big style in this one. And like you say, they're not as convincing to me as their record would suggest. They're still in a highly competitive division, so it's not a slam dunk that they even get out of it as division winners. There's still, well, over half of the season left to go. So it's... They're obviously, they've got the record behind them at the minute, which is you'd rather have the wins in the bank, but they're not convincing me at the minute. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't been... the Aaron Rodgers of old that we associate with him. He wasn't particularly clinical last night either. He just got a few lucky calls, had an interception. And the only thing that's improved for the Packers, I think, this season is the rushing game. Jamal Williams had a very good game on Monday night, had 104 rushing yards. So they're kind of incorporating both sides of their offense better now. But like you said, I'm not convinced by them entirely for going all the way as yet.
And clearly, bettors aren't that convinced by them this week, because I believe this opened up as a 7-point spread, and the move is toward the Raiders, who I suppose have surprised a few people this season. A lot of people thought it was going to be a very, very bad year for the Raiders, but they've got 3-2 record. Obviously, they were in the news for all the wrong reasons early on in the season. The Antonio Brown debacle, of course, early on. He was supposed to be the sort of the star name in Oakland this year. But actually, they've been all right. They beat the Bears in London coming into their bye week, so they've had plenty of time to rest up ahead of this one. And given that, I completely agree with you that the Packers don't really look like a 5-1 team so far, I can see why people are trying to back the Raiders on the handicap here.
Yeah, you never know what to make with the Raiders because they don't have like any of their wins, they haven't been signature performances where you think they look amazing. Yeah. They've just been scrappy wins where they've just dragged themselves over the line. I mean, that Bears one before they had the bye week,
yeah,
a classic example where you thought the Bears took the lead late. You thought, oh, they're not going to manage to pull this out of the bag. And they somehow did.
Mm.
And I even remember saying this when we did our preseason podcast, preseason preview, was, are we sure that John Gruden's still a good NFL coach?
Yeah,
and I think we're being proved that he still knows how to get the job done. So it's an interesting one for this game. Like you said, it has come in a little bit from -7 to -5.5. The only thing I reckon we could get with this one is a good high-scoring game.
Okay.
So I'd fancy the over in this one. We're at flat 47 at the minute, 10 to 11 either side. But other than that, I'm torn which side to take. I'd be tempted. The only thing I'd go with is the Raiders have not beaten the Packers since 1987.
Wow.
They don't play very often, so that's only 7 games they've played each other since. So in this decade, Green Bay have gone 2-0 against the spread, winning those 2 games. So history's not on the Raiders' side here, but this could be... Well, they say all records are meant to be broken,
yeah,
and so this could be a long overdue win for the Raiders.
Yeah, I think they've only played each other something like 12 times. The first 5 games going to the Raiders, but the 7 games since...
Yeah.
Have all gone to the Packers. So as you said, this isn't a series. This isn't two teams that we get a look at.
No.
All that often matched up. Overs for you, over 47, then at 10 to 11. I loved the Raiders earlier on in the week when they were getting 7 points. Less keen, 5.5. So I'd probably go in the alternate handicap markets here. Plus 8.5 is 4-6. Obviously, you have to take a shorter price, but you're getting more points on your side. You can still get that plus 7, by the way. It's 7-10, which I don't think is bad.
No.
I think the Raiders, with the touchdown in the bank on the spread, are a betting proposition for me. 5.5 is a little bit thin, but I think plus 7 or plus 8.5 on the alternative handicaps would be the bet for me. I want them on side this week, but I'm not sure if 5.5 is a sufficient head start.
No, I think you're right there. With if you get the touchdown lead, obviously you'll get the push if it's just still a touchdown with it being a flat 7. But yeah, that's a good bet, I think, for this game.
Okay, on to the televised 9 o'clock game, then at 9:25 this one gets underway. Baltimore Ravens at the Seattle Seahawks, 6-4 for the Ravens, 10-17 for the Seahawks. It's a 3-point spread here. The Ravens plus 3 is even money, and the Seahawks minus 3 is 5-6. The over and under here, a flat 49 points, 10-11, over 10-11 under as well. Again, two teams with winning seasonal records, the 4-2 Ravens against the 5-1 Seahawks, and two of the quarterbacks of the season here, really, Lamar Jackson, probably the best dual threat quarterback in the league, and Russell Wilson, for many people, the MVP through 6 weeks of the season. Looking forward to this one.
This should be an entertaining game, actually. It's one of those games where the Seahawks have had a lot of close ones, so you'd expect them. In fact, this will be the last game against the AFC North, having played the other three. Other three games have all been 2 points or less decided by, so we could expect another close thriller again this week. And like you said, Russell Wilson is showing why. At the minute, he's one of the front runners for the MVP. Last week, he managed to drag them back. They played the Browns last week, won 32-28, and they were down 20-6 in the first half. And a lot of people thought this is going to be Russell Wilson time, and he's going to bring them back again. And we were all proved right.
Yep.
And as a result, you were saying about the MVP market, we actually have now got the MVP betting back up on site, and we actually have Russell Wilson tied for the top with Patrick Mahomes, both 2-1.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
If you want some outside bets, you've got Deshaun Watson just outside of that. I think it's 11-4. And then Aaron Rodgers, Christian McCaffrey at 12s and bigger prices elsewhere. And as we talk that now, here we are, regular season MVP.
Oh, there we go.
And I'll just be proven wrong. So it was 11-2 was Deshaun Watson. That's the third favourite. Rodgers 9-1. Christian McCaffrey is 12-1. Obviously, we know how hard it is for a running back to win the MVP. And then you've got bigger prices elsewhere. Tom Brady, 18-1 and further on outwards. But I think it is very much, unless Christian McCaffrey can do something exceptional to get in this race, I think it's Russell Wilson's at the moment to lose. But keep an eye out on Deshaun Watson at 11-2, because if the Texans get a good result this week against the Colts, he could fly in as well and be sort of just nipping at the heels of Russell Wilson. But back to the game, I fancy the Seahawks in this one because I'm not quite convinced about the Ravens as yet. The only thing that I've got to go on that is when you look at their spread betting across the season, they're 1-5. Their only win was against the atrocious Dolphins on opening day.
Yeah.
Since then, they haven't covered a single spread, which doesn't bode well if they're an underdog for me. Of which, for me, just going on betting record, I'd take the Seahawks -3. If you're not quite as confident as me, you can take the money line at 10 to 17. But I think the Seahawks will cover this because they're going to keep pushing, I think, for that NFC West title. At the minute, they're 7-4 behind the 49ers who disposed of the Rams last week. And we talked about that, how that would affect the betting. As a result, the Rams have gone short. The 49ers have gone short favourites. The Rams have disappeared out despite acquiring Jalen Ramsey this week. But I think the Seahawks and the overs are the bet in this game as well, I think, because we've seen what both teams can do. We know Russell Wilson likes to throw the ball and be a gunslinger, so you see high-scoring games. The Ravens have been similar. They haven't been the Ravens of old where you expect low-scoring games built on their defense. Lamar's been fantastic running and throwing the ball. He had, 388 yards combined passing and rushing last week with one rushing touchdown. So I think the overs with the Seahawks -3 is the bets for me.
I like a bet in the winning margin market here. Seattle to win by 1 to 6 points at 100 to 30. So far this season, the Hawks have won 4 games by 4 points or less, and only one of their 6 games in total has been decided by more than 6 points. Obviously, they have dropped one as well during that time. But for a bet that's landed in 4 of 6 weeks so far, 130 is not a bad price, and they are just tending to win games by the odd point or two. And it was the case again against the Browns last week, so I think that's all right. I think
that's a nice little bet, especially when I was saying every game they've played against the AFC North, which would be this last one, they've all won by 1 to 6 points. So they've all won by, it was 2 or 3 points. So obviously they beat the Steelers Steelers was a close game. Sorry. They just squeaked out the Bengals opening week, and then they just beat the Browns last week by 2 points. So that's a very nice bet, actually, 10-3, Seattle 1-6.
You mentioned the Jalen Ramsey trade there a little bit earlier on. Kind of part of that mixture of trades was Marcus Peters going to the Ravens. What do you make of that acquisition?
I think it helps them because they've struggled with their secondary. Like we said, they're not that vaunted defense of old. And that's been one of their weaknesses, is just the aerial attack on their defense, and they haven't been able to help anything. What he's going to be able to do for them, not sure, considering the Rams haven't been the same defense as they were last year. Obviously, they've looked to improve on that now with Ramsey, but it's a body that I think they needed. How much effect it'll have, I'm not sure yet, but it's a step in the right direction, I think.
The primetime game this week then is an NFC East game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. 13-10 for Philly, 4-6 for Dallas. 3-point spread here at the time of recording. +3 for the Eagles is 5-6. -3 for the Cowboys is even money. The points here set at 48.5, 10-11 over and under. Here's a great stat that I've nicked off Twitter from the Cowboys game last week. You may have seen this one as well. Since 1991, NFL teams who win time of possession, total yards and turnovers, pick up 25 first downs and convert at least 10 third down attempts, are 90-1 since 1991. The one being the Cowboys last week against the Jets.
I didn't see that one, but that's
it's a very Cowboys stat, I think.
I think that's the best way to put it. It's a very Cowboys stat, and it shows how we were all hoodwinked by the Cowboys in the first 3 weeks when they were playing terrible opposition. And even last week they gave the Jets the first win of the year, and it's sort of vindicating why Jerry Jones was right not to pay Dak Prescott, in my opinion, because he has not, since he started playing decent defenses, and even the Jets haven't got a great defense, but even an average defense, he's looked substandard. He hasn't looked up to the mark. I mean, he had 278 yards last week, but he wasn't able to be effective. I mean, they trailed by, what was it? It was, I've got it written down somewhere. It was 21-3 in the first half. Mm-hmm. And against a Jets team that were winless, that's it. I know they got Sam Darnold back. It was inexcusable. It really was. I mean, the best tweet that I heard, one of the lads in my office was saying it during the game, was Sam Darnold's beating Dak Prescott mono a mono, which was the best thing I heard. Thing I heard all Sunday. It really wasn't a great. It was a great performance from the Jets to get off the mark, but the Cowboys are really flattering to see. And we all thought that the NFC East was going to be a great division and a really competitive one, and no one's really taken it up for grabs. I mean, you've got these two teams both at 3-3. The Giants aren't that far behind them, which isn't great, and the Redskins are terrible after they got off the mark last week thanks to a fumbled play from the Dolphins, which was a mini victory for them. But I really don't know which way to lean in this, because neither team is selling me so far this season. Neither team's looked convincing through six games. I mean, especially the Cowboys losing three in a row. The Eagles haven't done much either. They got battered last week by the Vikings, 38-20, and they just couldn't stop. Well, Kirk Cousins had a good game against what was an average secondary for them. They were another team in the running for Jalen Ramsey as well. They were hot for him, but couldn't get a hold of him. So that's, admittedly, they've got a secondary which Dak Prescott could take advantage of, but does he have the ability to do so? We're being left with a question at the minute.
Yeah, definitely feels like a really trappy betting heat to me, this one. As you say, both sides have split the first six games, and I suppose what typifies the Eagles' kind of erratic nature this year for me, they're the only team that have beaten the Packers so far this season, but they're also the only team that have lost to the Falcons this season. That kind of shows us where we are with Philly. I'd probably back them +3 because they are at least capable of beating good teams, as we've seen against the Packers. Whereas the Cowboys, it really is, they've beaten the bad teams. They've beaten the Dolphins, the Redskins and the Giants this year.
Yeah.
And lost to anyone of a higher quality. At least we've seen something from the Eagles in that beating of Green Bay that suggests they can beat good teams, where we haven't fully seen that from Dallas yet. But it has to be a small stakes play for me, this, because this is a very, very trappy betting one. I wouldn't like to have lost a lot of money Sunday and you're trying to chase on this game.
No, this isn't a game that you'd want to be putting high stakes on, unless you're probably a Cowboys fan or an Eagles fan, let's be honest. The only thing going off, like, the history between the two teams, the Cowboys are 10-1 against the spread against division opponents in the last 11. In this direct matchup, the Favs 6-1 against the spread in the last 7. But then the road team's 11-4 against the spread in the last 15. Dallas won both games last year, 23-29 in Dallas and 27-20 in Philadelphia. So history goes to the Cowboys, but like you said, I'm more favouring towards the Eagles because we have seen better displays against, I say better teams. I don't know if I can call the Cowboys a better team right now, because they're just, they really are struggling. The only good thing for them was that Ezekiel Elliott had quite a good performance and an improved performance last week, 105 rush yards, 48 reception yards with a rushing touchdown. So I think it's a good sign for them getting him back acclimated into the offense and getting him going. But for me, it is just, what can they do with Dak Prescott? Can he try and regain some form from the first 3 weeks? But against a struggling secondary, maybe. But I think, like you said, it'd be a small stakes play, but I think the Eagles +3 would be my bet as well.
Okay, on to the Monday night game this week. This is another divisional matchup with the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. The Patriots are 5-22 on the money line here. The Jets are 18-5. It is a 9.5-point spread. -9.5 Patriots, 10-11. +9.5 for the Jets, 10-11. And the points here set at 43. Again, 10-11 over and under. If the Patriots were to win this, it would be the fourth season in succession that they swept the Jets. They obviously beat them in week 3. Admittedly, Luke Falk was under centre for the Jets on that occasion. I think it was a 21.5-point spread that week. So obviously things a little bit different with Sam Darnold back in the fold. Got their first win of the season last week, the Jets against the Cowboys. As you mentioned earlier on, statistically, that's a game that they only win one in 90-odd times. So maybe it taken with a bit of a pinch of salt. But there's no question they look a much better proposition with Sam Darnold in. The question is his return enough to see them hang with the Patriots here and try and keep up?
Put simply, no.
Yeah.
For me, it's the thing for me is it's how impressive the Patriots' defense has been this season. We all know the Bears have got a great defense, but for me, the Patriots have been better this year. I mean, last year they had 2 defensive and special teams touchdowns. They blocked the punt to open up the game last week, and also they had a fumble recovery. They are just shutting teams down, and especially against teams that don't have a fantastic offense like the Jets, I think it's going to be a struggle for them to, to win, I think, is out of the question. But I think they've got a chance to hang around and potentially cover the 9.5, purely because we saw on Monday, Tom Brady hasn't quite looked as sharp as he has in the past. We are starting to see now, I think, Father Time catch up to him. Because if you watched that game, when you see him in the pocket, if there's any sort of pressure, he's not the confident guy he used to be. He's not willing to take a hit, because we know he's 42 years old. One big hit could spell the end for him now. So he's not quite as... he's never been a Patrick Mahomes moving around and extending the play out of the pocket.
Yeah.
So as a result, he's not quite as confident to hold on to the ball as long as he used to do. So he wasn't as sharp against the Jets, but he did come in with two rushing touchdowns, which I think the odds I heard on that were 100-1. I couldn't find anywhere to bet it over here. That was what I heard from what the odds were in Vegas if you wanted that. But he's always good. If you ever want a nice bet to cheer on, a Tom Brady anytime touchdown is always a nice bet, because
just off a quarterback
seat. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He never gets many yards, but he gets the one that counts.
It took him 10, 15 years to get 1,000 rushing yards or something like that in the league.
Yeah,
and then once he hit 1,000, he lost like 4 yards. Yeah. And then he had to wait another week or two to get back up to 1,000 again.
Yeah.
But you're right, in terms of quarterback sneaks, It's a play they do go to occasionally.
Yeah, yeah, it's
more than occasionally, actually.
It's frustrating whenever, like, for example, I had Sonny Michel two or more last week. Yeah, and it's frustrating when you think you've got your back that all you do is run the ball with, and they don't give it to him, and they give it to the quarterback sneak. But it is something to cheer on, because he is always a good price going into the game. Mm. It doesn't happen every week, obviously, but on weeks like last week, you've got to make hay while the sun shines. But I think, obviously, the Patriots I'd have for the win, so if you wanted to combine that with something else on a short price, then I think that's the way to go. But I'm not entirely convinced that they'd cover the 9.5. I think the Jets have got a chance to hang around, kind of what the Giants did last week. Obviously, the Giants didn't manage to cover the spread last week thanks to the late fumble recovery, but I think the Jets have got a chance to at least keep this to win the touchdown on this game. But not a chance for them to cover for me. The only other thing that could be a possibility is the overs. It's quite a short line at 43. Obviously, the Patriots aren't, and on Jets aren't renowned for high scoring games, but it's a chance. It's a case of, it hasn't gone the Patriots' way often this season. So the Patriots are only 2-4 when it comes to the over under. The Jets are 2-3, but I think this could be a game where we see it go over, considering the line's only 43.
Okay, good stuff. That's the Monday night game then in week 7. On to any other bets then now. One bet that I'm going to chuck up, actually, which I should have mentioned earlier on when we were previewing this exact game, Raiders at the Packers. Mentioned for the last couple of weeks my concerns about Green Bay's defense against the run. Admittedly, on Monday night, they were a lot better, but they conceded a rushing touchdown to Kerryon Johnson, who I mentioned in the podcast last week, mentioned Ezekiel Elliott the week before. Jordan Howard got a couple the week before that. Josh Jacobs is having a really nice rookie season for the Raiders. So even though they were better against the run against the Lions, they still gave up the all-important rushing touchdown to the star running back. So Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown for me.
That's a nice little bet. Obviously, we won't have that price up yet. When we come closer to the weekend, that will come available. I like that one. It's a trend I think you've got to look for with the Packers' defense.
Yeah.
I think similarly, there's other teams. For example, whenever you're looking at whoever the Chiefs are playing, that's always a good bet to look at the running backs they're playing.
Yep.
We're recording this on a Thursday afternoon. By the time it's released, the Chiefs game will have been done and dusted. Looking at the rest of the slate, I like the Colts.
Okay.
So a big divisional rivalry. Unfortunately, this one isn't a televised game. I would have had it as a televised game, which is the Texans at the Colts.
Yeah.
Because it's a big... This is sort of like going to be who's going to be the top dog for now in the AFC South. I like the Colts in this. A lot of people would argue against it because the line's gone the other way toward the Texans. But I think the Colts -1 is a bet, or just take them on the money line at 20-23. But I do think this will also be a high-scoring game. So take the over, 47.5. Other games to look at. I like the Saints as well at the Bears.
I think
that was a game we were going to go. Another one we would have liked to have seen.
Money line as well for me. I know they're getting 3.5 points on the spread, but I'd back them 31-20.
Well, we said a few underdogs last week. We said the Saints, we said the Cardinals, both to win.
Yeah.
They both managed to come in. We don't get many right, but we got these ones right. It's a case of Mitchell Trubisky will be back for the Bears this week.
Not sure that's that much of a positive there, really, is it?
That's what I was going to get on to. It's not. The only worry I've got, the only thing that I'd have in the back of my mind is that this will be the best defense that Teddy Bridgewater will have faced in his time replacing Drew Brees.
Yes.
We're not sure how far he is away from his return. They keep treading water and they've got enough in the tank to keep afloat. But then on the flip side, the way that Marshawn Lattimore's been playing for the Saints recently, he has shut down the best option for the opposition wide receivers. In weeks gone by, I mean, Mike Evans had zero receptions, kept Amari Cooper quiet. So I think we know Trubisky isn't the greatest thrower anyway. and what few options he's got out wide are going to be shut down by Marshall and Lattimore. I think this is a good chance again for the Saints to either cover +3.5, I like, but even then to take on the money line as well, I think is a good shout in at Soldier Field.
It's a flat 38 in terms of the points in that match, which is really low, but I still like the unders on it as well. I just can't see how it gets to be a high scoring.
Yeah, I think you're right with that, because
with the dominance of the two defences, as we mentioned,
yeah, it's a defensive battle, and you're right. I think we could be looking at something like a 17-10 game or a 17-13 kind of matchup, which would have a win on the spread either way if the Bears came that way. Only the game that I'm looking at, I think, is your Detroit Lions, I think.
Yeah. That's another candidate that could have been the televised game at 6 o'clock, because we've got divisional opponents. Again, it's almost a scratch handicap.
Yeah, it was. Well, when we were watching the Monday night game, it was a scratch handicap. Yeah. And then since the Lions lost, the Lions moved the other way in favour of the Vikings. I'm not sure I agree with that, to be honest. I think either that or we've seen the money come in on the Vikings.
Yeah.
I think the Lions win this one, so you've got 11-10 on the money line, +1.5 in the spread if you want to take the 1.5 just to hedge. But I think even the money line is just a good bet on this one, because like we've said with Kirk Cousins, when he faces an average defense, he looks fantastic. As soon as he faces anything more challenging, then he struggles. And I think the Lions have proved well. I mean, they kept Rodgers relatively quiet. They struggled against the rush, which could be a problem when they're facing Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
But I think that the Lions have a chance to win this one and get back into the race into the NFC North.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me on this one as well.
Yeah, definitely. And no team deserves anything in sports as such. No. But if any team deserves a win this week after what happened on Monday night,
there might be a few phantom flags thrown on the Vikings. You're thinking.
We'll see.
How cynical.
Indeed. We'll be back for week 8 as well in a week's time, and I imagine we'll be talking some basketball as well.
Hopefully we will be, yes.
Good stuff. Thank you for that, Stephen. See you next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.